All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, welcome to my mortuary.
Oh, fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got any,
bodies? Real stiff ones?
Yeah.
I got some stiffs.
Okay. All right.
I thought you and I, so we've done a lot of different randomizations on this show, but we've never done a randomization through an autopsy.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. Because nobody really knows what's going on in that whole torso region, you know?
Nobody knows what's going on in that hole.
Yeah, I feel like if I was going to cut open one of these grandpas or whatever, like anything, we, you know, who knows what we're going to get?
Yeah.
Right? Like, we're not doctors.
What's your sourcing practice on these here bad boys?
So if you'll follow me over here.
Okay.
To this table, I've got somebody's grandpa.
Hi.
Presumably.
Okay.
It's okay. He's long past. I put formaldehyde in his ears.
Okay. Liquid. Wouldn't it just dribble out?
Not if you stuff it in there with some wax.
Okay. Cool. No?
I'm new to this. The instructions with the kit weren't actually in English.
So the important thing is that you're trying is the thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I got my little mortuary kit. I ordered it from wish.com and it came from China in like 17 months. And then, so I'm still trying to figure it out.
Right. Right.
Like if you look over here, I got a big bathtub full of coagulated blood because I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah. Where does it go?
I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't want the sewer people to know what I'm doing here with all this blood.
No, they're going to trace it back upstream. It'll be a real problem.
Yeah. And it gets back in my water, and that's weird to me.
Yeah.
I can't drink the blood of these guys.
We've talked about this on shows before, at least on TDRK. There was a time when my dad lived in the basement of a funeral home.
Okay.
And it was like an apartment down there. And in the walkway, there was absolutely the pipe where all of the fluid went to be collected and then hauled off later by a special service. So yeah, there was definitely the awful pipe.
The lung pipe.
Yeah. So,
I guess
what I'm saying is you just got to get yourself an awful pipe.
I gotta get a pipe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right now the pipes under this don't go nowhere. So,
don't
go in the bathroom. Go in the bathroom while you're here because it's not good seeing.
Like, okay, cool.
I built it myself. I still think it's kind of impressive. Like,
walls,
you know,
it looks like a house.
There's a table. Like, yeah, I think it's kind of good, but just for a first try, it's not going to enter in any like competitions or anything.
No. I think in order for it to be a house, there has to be an away hole. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm still working on that part. And right now, there's just like there's a pit.
Yeah.
And the earth subsumes what it once also birthed.
Make sure you don't build like a gigantic spire that plunges right into whatever's down there.
I'm going to work on that. I'm going to try not to.
Yeah.
And everything. And this pillar of skulls I have over here hasn't talked yet. I don't know how many more skulls it's going to need, but at some point it'll have one.
Okay.
You know, it'll voice. So I just figured we'd reach into this grandpa, and I keep doing it, like, since I've had all these practice grandpas, if you look at the pile over there.
Yeah.
And the practice grandpas, it's amazing the kind of stuff you find, man.
I mean, like, it's mostly just tumors, right?
There's a lot of things are tumors, that, but I'm not a doctor. Like, I don't really know the difference between a tumor and an organ. Like, if I pull out, like, a fleshy lump, like, that could be a xiphoid process or that could be a tumor.
You're not asking questions.
But sometimes you get, like, hard candies. Sometimes you get, like... tuna plates, cold tuna plates.
Yeah,
you know, thing like old people food. You know,
like
an egg white omelet, like a two egg white omelet, with like a side of coffee, but then also like two cinnamon rolls. It was weird Denny's there.
Yeah, just an explosion of grape nuts. Yeah.
Oh yeah. There's like, if you look at the tower of grape nuts I piled up there, that has also not started talking yet. They're just pulled out of here, but there's just lots of cool stuff you can find in these guys. So. I thought maybe you and I'd get elbow deep together and see if we can pull a game out of this old fucker.
Okay. Bob Villa, so, this old fucker.
Hey.
Look at the wainscoting on this one, by which I mean his name is Wayne Scott.
So do
we have gloves or?
I've got one glove between the two of us. So we got four rounds, one glove.
Okay.
So usually the hand that goes in the business hand, I wear the glove. The other hand that is holding back the flap.
Okay.
You know, I let that one free ball it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, you want to build up corpse immunity.
Yeah. I need to get all these old diseases that don't exist anymore. So let me real quick. Let me get one of this special mortuary cutter thing that I've got here.
Okay.
And let me give this guy what I like to call. I like to do a vertical slice. I've done a horizontal one before, and it's just not as attractive.
Yeah.
This way, there's a nice symmetry if I do a vertical slice. So let me go here from right between the nips.
Okay.
Slice down to the asshole. All the way down. Okay.
All right.
And then let me I'll use one of my good hands. I'll spread it here. And then let's see if we can put both of our right hands in the glove, and then at least only one hand is getting free balling it.
Okay. So as
the big glove.
As we're doing this, should I just put on the Righteous Brothers the last touch? Oh, my love, my darling. That scene from Ghost, yeah.
Oh, gotcha. I was trying. I didn't.
Unchained Love. Unchained Love. There we go. Yeah.
The there's no stereo here.
Oh, okay.
It didn't come in the kit. Every once in a while, I wear headphones, but I get pretty spooked out. Because if you're wearing headphones, you can't hear. You know, your peripheral hearing is not good.
Yeah.
So I walk past that tower of grape nuts and get the chills, you know?
Mm, yeah, okay. Well, let's go. Snap.
Okay. Yep. We'll wear the glove and let's reach into
something real solid and square there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's real weird. And usually most things in there are soft. Not all of them, though. There's these pointy bits.
Yeah.
Like, especially in the chest region. I don't know if those things, but they're like little boomerangs and they're sharp.
Okay.
So watch out for those things.
Okay. Okay. Wait, no, I think we have this. Out. It's loose. Okay.
Okay.
It's just an, it's an NES cartridge.
This guy knew how to party.
it wasn't even in an organ. Like, it's not like he ate it or anything.
Well, I have a camp shower over here. I don't have running water, but I have a camp shower we can use to rinse it off.
Okay. All right. So.
Right over here to the camp. It's filled with blood, though, the camp shower, because I had to put it somewhere. But
right.
At least like it won't be as coagulated and won't be all this like humors and stuff.
Yeah.
On here, so let's rinse that bad boy off in blood.
Yeah, it's chiller.
Okay. I can't say fuck it, chiller. I don't think it's good, but I think this is too like I don't understand getting mad at this. It's too weird to like.
Yeah,
to have a feeling about
right. It's more like you should be in a jar, like this is worthy of study. So it is our first. You should be in a jar.
Yeah, you should be in a jar. Hate music. My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering, the show where you play bad games. You don't have to.
Why are you doing this to us?
Yeah. Is this a request?
This is a random.
Ooh, good random poll. I'm kind of surprised we haven't done this before.
I know. Just because this is relatively, it's a little bit infamous, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me do a real quick search to see who suggested this. This was Flow Snake saying dead people are cool.
Well, can't argue with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is, I knew about this mostly because it was, it's rare.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not super rare. Like NES copy, you can get a copy of it for $100,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I never saw it in the wild ever. And I remember reading about it when ROMs exploded.
Mm-hmm.
And just playing it and being like, whoa, there's this like ultra violent, bloody Nintendo game.
Yeah. Like playing this is a little bit like playing, like watching a pre Haze Code movie.
You know,
like just you sit down and you watch Freaks and like, oh, this was made in the 30s, but it's incredibly upsetting. Like, oh yeah. Like stuff used to get buck wild. Okay.
Yep. And then we assume and then we changed it. So like you couldn't,
yeah.
you know, without. So this is Chiller. This is a shooting gallery, like light gun game, based on an arcade game,
mm-hmm.
where you shoot people who are already being tortured to make them get tortured faster.
I guess it seems very redundant. It seems to run counter to the purpose. It seems like you're not wanting to kill the people you're torturing. It seems like you want to prolong that.
Yeah, you're putting them out of their misery.
Yeah.
As fast as possible, weirdly enough.
Right.
So it's made by somebody who doesn't know what torture is.
Right.
Yeah.
That's their fatal flaw. Yeah. And this is made by Exidy, an arcade publisher and developer who like put out, I think they famously put out like Death Race, which was another like big controversial game a decade before this one was.
That's extremely quaint in comparison.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like the Death Race's sin was assigning point values to hitting people in cars, which is something every teenager joked about anyway.
Exidy also created a home computer called the Exidy Sorcerer.
What?
Which I would like to get my hands on the Exidy Sorcerer.
Please.
I just think that's cool. it's similar to the Commodore PET, which is another old computer I've thought about trying to get before. The PET is specifically cool because it has a monitor attached. It's like all one piece.
Yeah, yeah.
Do a quick Google image search for the Commodore PET and tell me that thing isn't fucking awesome.
Let's see here.
I can put it in the Slack
too. Oh yeah, I can see that. It looks like it would have a face on it and speak to you in a British accent. Yeah.
Really, really attractive. Whereas the Commodore Sorcerer like doesn't have that, but also the Exidy Sorcerer, I just think it sounds cool.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean the Exidy Sorcerer just looks like it looks like that Atari computer that they plugged into the TV to plan their route in the original Vacation.
Yeah. Yeah. Like and that there's a booth that sells them at PRG every year.
The Sorcerer or those Ataris?
Those like old Ataris. They might have a Sorcerer. I didn't know the Sorcerer existed until this. So like now I gotta look for the Sorcerer.
Yep.
You know, the equivalent of $3,358 is how much it costs for the Exidy Sorcerer. So.
Very fun.
But anywho, so Exidy made this.
Mm-hmm.
Originally an arcade game. And the weirdest thing about it is like the fact that this was an arcade game is very weird, but it's even weirder. This got port, you know, it's unlicensed, but that they thought that this would fly on the NES, I guess.
Yeah.
Is extremely weird. Like obviously Nintendo didn't sanction this, but even the thought that like this would be a good NES game is extremely weird. Cause it wasn't like a huge hit in the arcade or anything.
No, I mean, specifically arcade owners didn't want to buy it. So
yeah.
I don't know what this means, but in the Wikipedia article, they say Exidy successfully marketed it to third world countries.
I saw that. It's very sinister.
Yeah. I don't know what that means. Additionally,
I want a documentary about this game pretty badly.
So
based just on this Wikipedia entry,
what I think that might be referring to is, when I was doing research on stuff for Hex Crank, just adding new stuff from the 80s a little bit earlier this year, I thought about like, oh, it'd probably be fun to do something about Chiller because I didn't really know a lot about it before I realized it was so slight. Every ROM that I could find of Chiller was like packaged in with a bunch of other stuff. So like it was like it was like a board that was select from these games. So I think that what happened was they just sold multi-game light gun cabinets to folks and Chiller just happened to be in it.
The thing about, you know, selling it to third world countries is interesting to me. Also, this bit in Wikipedia where Bradley Cantor, a renowned urban planner from NYC, was the winner of the 1992 Chiller Gaming Award for high score and most hours played. Cantor's rival, Christopher Gorman.
Christopher? Right? So
Christopher Gorman, who's definitely, you know, the guy who invented Chiller, the haunted Needful Things thing, alluded in a 1998 interview with GamePro magazine that Cantor may have been using caffeine pills to stay awake for a record-breaking 89 hours of gameplay of Chiller. Like, I want to see that King of Kong pretty badly.
Me too. How is this story so interesting?
I don't know, man. I had no idea that Chiller contained such magnitude.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that there was a CGA, come on.
Yeah. Yep, yep.
But
so extremely into it.
So I'm thinking about, you know, like 89 hours, playing anything for 89 hours straight seems like a fucking nightmare. My arm gets tired after like a round of Area 51.
Yeah, I can't do light gun games anymore, man. No. I do. I will do I went on a date once like several years ago. And to a family fun center in, you know, a suburb, and they had everything was set to free play.
Uh-huh.
It was like half the machines were broken, but they were all free. So that was the trade off.
Mm-hmm.
And like, had to like hold, eventually I was trying to beat, House of the Dead and had to hold the gun with my left hand and then use my right hand to pull the trigger using like my arm motion instead of a trigger motion.
Yeah.
Cause it's so exhausting to shoot.
Hey Gary, we're the apex predators on this planet.
Yeah. If I got more practice, perhaps,
I suppose.
You know?
Yeah.
Like but as it is, it's just like you're just not meant to shoot for that long.
No. So fucking ridiculous. The actual game itself, I'm actually kind of like, I'm into it in a way, because I wouldn't have expected a light gun game to be anything more than shoot good or shoot thing before it shoots you.
There's little puzzle elements.
Yeah.
Which is the thing you're alluding to. So it's like people being tortured in various scenes generally. That you play, and you can just shoot them, and they break apart very slowly and stay alive for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Shooting them in the head doesn't kill them. You shoot torture devices that they're attached to make them, to get more points and activate the devices.
Right.
So there's a little bit of that like manhole, just toy appeal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, play with this thing, to just see what happens,
mm-hmm.
essentially. And that is kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
if, I mean, it feels inventive, you know? Yeah, but like that only goes so far, right? Because there are four dioramas that this game presents you with, and then they just repeat. Your goal is to kind of find these talismans or whatever, because you like basically do these special little find the object challenges to get the goal. And if you do not get all of these talismans, you have to wait until the next time that scene comes around, and you have like fewer shots to accomplish it in.
Yeah. So it actually is kind of challenging as well.
Yeah.
The NES version. I played a little bit of the NES version, but I'd played this before a little bit for this show. And I watched a full playthrough of the arcade version though.
The arcade version unsettles me. Not like in the indignant, you know, how dare you be so churlish way that we're going to talk about later. Like the GameFAQs response to this, but like, it looks like the kind of game somebody would design as a concept to include in a Kirk Cameron movie about how degenerate media is.
Yeah, yeah. Or something that somebody would make and you'd just be shooting like Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, yeah.
Or something like that. Like it's the kind of the violence of that is weirdly specific enough to be kind of gross.
Yeah.
Like you shoot off in the NES version, you shoot and it essentially just turns people into like red glitch graphics.
Yeah, yeah.
When you shoot them in the arcade version, you shoot them and their bones
appear. Yeah, yeah, like it exposes rib and such. There's nudity in the arcade version, which is weird.
Yeah,
there's almost nudity in the NES version, which is really weird.
Yep.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're shooting monsters as well.
Yeah.
The you're not just always torturing people. Sometimes you're shooting ghosts and shit.
Yeah.
I was kind of surprisingly on board for this too. Like not just the puzzle element, but also just like a shooting gallery with a super macabre theme.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't hate that.
Yeah.
You know, like it sucks that it's literal torture porn, but the fact that it's on NES is so quaint that I just, you know, like I said in the beginning, like I can't imagine getting mad at it.
Yeah. But I also can't imagine what made somebody think it was a good idea.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Just like, I mean, there's a little, like, I can't imagine either, but it's not that far removed from just like metal, heavy metal as an aesthetic or whatever. Like it doesn't feel that it is removed. There's an important difference between this and like Doom.
Yeah.
But not as big a difference as maybe people made out to be.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like this is not so beyond the pale that, you know, because there's no context to it. You know, it's just people. you know, it's not like you're going, it's not Columbine. It's not Hatred.
Right, right.
You know, like Hatred has a context to it that makes it more gross.
Yeah.
This is just it just feels quaint to me.
Yeah. What's crazy is the arcade version had no context. There was like no story when they brought it to the NES, even though it was unlicensed and they didn't have to do like they didn't have to like play around and say like, oh, you're actually killing monsters. They did. Like there's a bunch of text in the manual about how like this whole castle and manor is bringing back humans as monsters and zombies and stuff. And you have to kill them. Why are the monsters being tortured? I don't know.
they're already caught.
Yeah.
And you just have to shoot them with a gun, medieval gun. Yeah. It's that story part is silly, but it doesn't make it, like that doesn't make it more gross to me.
Yeah,
that they have that. You know, it was just very hard for me to be bothered by this. I guess. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Quaint. I know. Maybe I'm just desensitized, but
maybe like quaint is the right word for the NES version of this, which is just like, wow, this feels rinky dink in a really kind of profound way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The arcade version though, it does have that macabre kind of like, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which also doesn't bother me too much either. Then,
yeah,
You know, it's just kind of like, you know,
it doesn't inspire moral outrage in me. It's more just like, I don't like looking at this.
Yeah, I don't really have any interest in playing it either.
Yeah.
You know, it just, if it would have been like, there's a certain amount of like big blood I can get into, you know, as far as just kind of gore in a Doom appeal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of way. Like, I don't like gore in movies very much.
Mm-hmm.
But in video games, when it's like any degree of fidelity, like lower than PlayStation 2.
Yeah, yeah.
I can kind of get into it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of weirdly pro chiller. Have we, what is that PlayStation 1 fighting game that's super violent never came out?
Thrill Kill, that eventually was made into it was like a Wu-Tang.
Wu-Tang, enter the Wu-Tang.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Thrill Kill, I remember seeing a ROM of that.
Oh, yeah.
As a kid too, and that being like the ultimate violentest you know video game, and that also even just seems quaint because it's fucking PS1 graphics. So
nothing so far has matched the utter just revulsion that I experienced at playing Time Killers.
Oh yeah, yeah. Where you just like your leg gets chopped off and you hop around on one leg.
Yeah,
stuff and hit somebody with your arm.
Too much.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think that stuff's silly. It doesn't trigger that. It's not interesting to me, but I don't have any reaction to it.
I saw it when I was too little, and seeing it now just brings back the memory of how I felt looking at that. Like just like eagerly putting my quarters into that arcade machine because hey, it's a new fighting game, neat. And then seeing something I wasn't ready to see, I guess. It hit me at exactly the right time and exactly the right angle to like. I still have residue of that experience.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Say what you will. It doesn't do too much against me. I just like there's enough of this. It's just like ghosts and snakes and skulls and shit that I think are into. You know, like the aesthetic pluses outweigh the bads. Like how silly. I'm watching the ghost like gallery part of this, and it's just so silly.
Oh, absolutely.
The little skull that just pops up out of the hole in the middle of the ground, like. You know,
yep.
Like they're putting on a show.
I love the like the zombie arm that's reaching up out of the ground. That's good. That's holding the skull. If you shoot the skull out of its hand, it flies over and hits another tombstone. Like,
yeah,
it's like cool little bits and bobs, like manhole or windowsill is a good comparison.
Yeah. So silly.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing, we have a real game facts emergency. Because you know this is not going to be really heavily on digression because Chiller's interesting.
Yeah,
that was the A side of the episode, and now I'm for the B side of the episode where we have struck some Game Facts Gold. I know that we've been saying like Game Facts Gold and then been like, actually, it's more like Game Facts Bronze.
Yeah,
I feel like this is Game Facts Gold.
There's no need to qualify this. I think that we have found a real winner.
Yeah, we have found a real winner because people, you know, we've been doing the Casket Darkfire Chronicles. For a while.
Yeah.
You know?
Unintentionally before we noticed the pattern, I think.
And Casket Darkfire, for people who haven't been paying attention, the reason why that guy is funny is because he has this very like, I am William Sapphire and I am running Game Facts reviews, which is very funny. But he even bows before our new champion, the Grammatical King.
So the Grammatical King, his profile or their profile is not active anymore. Mm-hmm. So there's no real, there's no real, checking in on him to see how he's doing. He has, let's hear 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 reviews, reviews that were posted between 2002. And then there's one in mid 2003.
Yeah. He came back out of retirement very briefly.
Yes, to review
Fatal Relations.
So I need Fatal Relations right now. I don't know what
it's a visual novel, so I'm not doing anything with it.
No good.
But he the five things he's reviewed, these are the five games. Mm-hmm. Mortal Kombat, Chiller, Narc, Fatal Relations, and The Great Waldo Search. Now, four of those five have something in common.
Yeah.
So you might be able to actually guess what this guy's whole steez is just based on that.
Yep. However, the one that sticks out, the one that is not like the others, The Great Waldo Search, I need to you can get a better sense of what this guy is like just by reading the title of this. A conundrum. Yeah. The society that spawns a hit fad then creates a game so lackluster. What is to be said of that society?
That society.
Like it's a fucking gangweed meme. Come on.
He is doing the Socratic method, posing a question to us, his audience. What inferences can we make about society based on the fact that they have spawned a hit fad and yet the game is lackluster?
His pros, I was reading this trying to find the markers of what this is. It's not like a letter home from the Civil War. What this reads like to me, it reads like he's trying to be both Ignatius J. Riley, but writing in the voice of FDR writing his fireside chats.
Yeah, a little bit. these are the fireside chat for the new millennium. Waldo is the nefarious oval-headed chap that finds himself hopelessly lost in the most wondrous of locales. Ancient Egypt, medieval ages, the futuristic space colonies have all been visited by the unwelcome welter-witted wanderer. Waldo whisked from the world to world with a foundation for a series of children's books, where the premise was to locate the striped shirt-clad urchin amidst vast pictorials of the lands he traveled. This is I've never met a man who is trying to get you to buy a thesaurus more than this guy is. This is Johnny Thesaurus. His father invented the thesaurus, and he wants to make sure other people know how good thesauruses are.
Yep.
So you can just do a lot of unusual adjectives.
Mm-hmm.
All the reviews are half star.
Right.
So it's like this guy is he's aiming to educate.
He is aiming to educate, and he is aiming to hold a Baroque mirror up to the current society and reveal the churlish content within. He has looked upon the works of mankind and found it wanting.
Yeah, this is from the review of Chiller, the title of which, an attempt at creativity for the benefit of the gaming populace, and a colossal blunder at that. See within for details. the third paragraph. Chiller can immediately be put into the genre of quote-unquote light gun games. That is to say, you, as the player, hold a gun-like apparatus and quote-unquote fire at objects by pointing the aiming receptacle at the screen and pulling the trigger.
Aiming receptacle? What the fuck are you talking about?
What is happening?
That's not even accurate. You just wanted to maximize your syllables.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Since there is little you can apply toward movement or weapon diversity, you are simply left with the flow of the game and your shooting abilities to survive. The only skulls involved are your ability to wave the accessory.
Jesus. Weave the accessory controller. And by this merit, the game Chiller is simultaneously a success and a failure. The objective is to shoot certain key items in each area before the timer runs out. Okay. However, I believe this is ultimately the fulcrum of the game's popular demise.
What is a popular demise? You're making nonsense.
I don't know. And then every one of the reviews ends with his soapbox, because that's his whole thing. Is like, as much as I hate to take the moral high ground, I feel this game demands.
You don't hate to take the moral high ground. It's your whole thing.
It's all you do. This game demands this sort of stance to be taken up. I do not know any society in the world that looks upon killing as a necessity, let alone an enjoyable activity of any sort. Therefore, the concept alone of having a video game where you simply kill people and hold no other real purpose is sickening and frightening. this guy is a guy.
Video games with realistic violence come and go every year. In Grand Theft Auto 3, you can steal cars and run over people, hearing a loud squish sound as you do. However, this is not the focus of GTA 3, instead being more of a side feature the game showcases. Chiller, on the other hand, only has one focus, that of the unwholesome massacring of human lives.
Yep. Yeah. This guy is the worst. And all of the reviews are like that.
Yep.
The title of the Mortal Kombat one, for a game to almost blatantly promote such violence as this, I cannot help but condone it. A good fad can completely ruin the credibility of a number of things, whether that fad be the degradation of a perfectly acceptable medium or the wanton attention a person or object might receive when they certainly don't need it. Fads have been known to create anomalies in the system, glitches in society. He hates fads, too. People love that. Pet rocks, so-called. When it becomes famous for reasons it should not, it sets an improper standard that many will follow, if only because the precedent's created. fads, given enough people following them, create fads upon fads. With great disdain that I pen my feelings towards another extremist fad enclosed upon a video game whose popularity was unrightfully large.
You're saying nothing.
Yeah.
Grammatically, thing, you're saying nothing. Also, your grammar is bullshit. No
clothes. Like, it's...
I cannot believe that a game like this was honestly conceived and created. I find it hard to understand how people would willingly put effort into a game of this low quality. Talking about a Where's Waldo video game.
Yeah, getting really, you know, putting on a full suit of armor and charging into kill a ice cream sundae.
Why are these people at this WrestleMania event not appreciating the works of Wordsworth?
Wordsworth. Like Wordsworth. Oh, Lord Byron. Like myself might. Society has had so many fads. Heavens to Betsy. It gives me the vapors. I am a grammatical lord. You are grammatical peons.
The Fatal Relations review. The title of it is just simply exclamation point.
Yeah, he's not happy.
For anyone who has read my previous reviews, you will see that I tend to attempt to put into words my disgust for certain games out there. I place a lot of emphasis on the moral implications that game might begrudge against society, looking for the message beneath the flash and the fluff before I even begin taking an unabashed look at the product itself. Thus, for me to uptake a game with such notoriety as Fatal Relations, the outcome should be so thoroughly predictable that there would be no thought required on your behalf.
Okay.
So, like, what you're saying is, I have a stick.
As with any good pornographic movie, objectively, there's a basic premise of a plot which simply serves as a series of situations for people to engage in coitus. The soup du jour of Fatal Relations has an 18-year-old lad named Ken, recently orphaned, being adopted by a wealthy businesswoman. Why exactly have you been taken in by this lady is simple. You are to keep her and her five daughters entertained while the maid takes care of you throughout the day. There are no illusions here. This means lots of sexual activities involving the mother, each of the daughters, and daily encounters with the maid. Like, this guy ironically jerking off to Fatal Relations. It's like a turning point in this guy's life.
Yeah. God, I know. Sometimes on the show we just say, "Hey, this onion thing was funny." One of my favorite headlines is "Ironic porn creates unironic orgasm."
Yeah, exactly. Like, how many times did the grammatical king beat off to Fatal Relations?
I mean, how many words are in this article?
How many stars are there in the sky?
Yet to push the blame upon Ken is a fallacy upon itself. It is the seven women of this household that are very openly attracted to him that cause his spiral out of control. Ken's level of morality drops as the physical interaction becomes more intense and more frequent, so that challenging opinions soon become basic responses. Oh, so it's the women's fault. It's a harem anime game where the women are to blame.
And the weird thing about this guy having this kind of moral outrage here is that it's not religious.
You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Like it's coming for, it's like this weird proper, like Lovecraftian Anglophile, like stilted, you know, angle at it. It's not, I was expecting it just to be, cause you could, there are whole websites of this, like websites or review video games are just this. You're like, we stumbled across those in our Googling and stuff.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
This guy, there's no basis for this. It's just this weird, like, society is going down the pisser, the proverbial pisser, with everyone masturbating all the time to these video games.
Every morning I open my front door and I see that the world has turned more into a gutter. Like, is this Rorschach, Gary?
Oh my god. Man, the narc review. I recall waking up early on Saturday mornings, happily crunching my Cap'n Crunch cereal while awaiting episodes of The Muppet Babies, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and Cap'n N. Being a youngster, high from the excess sucrose intake I had just undergone, it was bad enough that the commercials that played out, between my shows. This sort of flagrancy was increased, however, when it covered a boring topic. that of just say no, the catchphrase of Nancy's War.
Nancy's War! No!
Yeah, Nancy's War. The irritation compounded itself with the full 1.5 minute commercials with bad dancers and singers proudly proclaiming the horrors of drugs were created, forcing an already overactive youngster to move to another channel. Oh, man. Yeah, James Marsden of future X-Men fame as Cyclops. Yeah, he's just talking about anti-drug commercials for most of this narc review.
Does he come out? Does he come down on the side of drugs? Because it sounds like, you know, he is on the side of drugs.
Doesn't it? Yeah. I think it's just more society. Let me see. First reason. Yeah, this is very weird. No, I think it's just that it's dumb that they made a video game about the war on drugs.
The war on drugs, yes.
They're very different. Very different things. I've known many a dog in my lifetime, and many of them were gentlemen chaps. I will not have disparaged the good names.
It is on this dark and infamous day that I must say, we shall not suffer the Douglases to live.
Yeah. Society once had very few dogs, and now we have many. And look upon the violent works that are every night on the nightly news.
The world is full of useless dogs. Look upon yourself and say, do I merit existence?
What is a dog? Yeah, extremely good. But yeah, I don't really understand what these first three paragraphs in the narc review are good at either.
I do not know of anyone who would find painful, underage, lesbian, incest-laden voyeurism as entertaining, but that seems to be who this game is marketed towards. Oh. Try to avoid falling into this demographic, please, so that we can send the message that games such as this are not wanted.
Yeah, this guy's extremely bad.
Again, like, so this is the kind of thing where I feel perfectly fine making fun of a dude, A, because his opinions are bad and overwrought. Also, this is obviously somebody who has English as their first language. Also, like, 2002, 2003, like, I could see somebody, you know, like, I said, there was a little bit of this in me. Like, I've talked about that before, where, like, there's a certain adolescent approach to precocious writing where, like, oh, the measure of my worth as a person who has ideas is how many synonyms I can find for something. Like,
the worst thing that ever happens to a kid is being proud of how smart they are.
Yes.
Like, if you make a kid proud of themselves for being smart, like, you don't want to, like, you know, raise a bunch of dumbasses.
No.
But tell it, like, you can do a lot of damage to any, I'm saying kid, that's actually true. It's like what happened to Jonathan Blow, right? Like,
yeah.
Or any of those people, like, telling somebody that they're smart or a genius is a profound act of violence that will make them a worse person.
Yeah.
You know, like, they you have to ride a throttle.
We're like, it's important for somebody to have self-esteem, but, like, if you fall asleep... If you let go of the dead man switch on that, then you get grammatical king.
Yeah, you get and society is full of grammatical kings. Yeah. Like, it's about, like, and it's not like you need to undercut, like, all the compliments with insults. You just need to be like, hey, everyone's good. You're no worse than everyone else.
Yeah. Or, you know, like, just like you look at a grammatical king and you say, all right, so you obviously are very proud of the way that you write. There have been a lot of people who say, yeah, that's a lot of words. Have you considered that maybe you are making something that is unreadable garbage because you're doing so much of this?
Because somebody told you were good and smart.
Yes.
Like, there's no way grammatical king was not encouraged a lot as a child.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can tell that's grammatical king. Like, and just, like, they just did a lot of damage to him and made him make a bunch of bad writing. And, like, maybe he went on to be a good writer, or maybe he went on to do other stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this was just a weird 2-year period where he was doing these weird snooty reviews on GameFAQs. But, like, this is just, you know, even if this is a temporary phase and he went on to be good, like, this could have been avoided. You know, this easily could have been avoided.
Yes. Fetishes are something I do not claim to understand. The mind can find a variety of subjects very interesting. But for a change in what physiologically stimulates you is a concept that seems so beyond my grasp. Oh, so you're like a sex negative freak. Okay, cool.
Yeah, he's star-manning it to a degree that has never been seen before. Like, everything needs to be explained and proclaimed.
Yeah.
Initially, like, yeah, everything has to be, the stage has to be set for it.
Yeah.
He doesn't get anything.
Filtered through his own like, understanding or lack of understanding of it. God, star manning is such a wonderful verb.
it's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
This is King Star Man.
Yeah.
So I really wish he had done more.
Yeah.
Like this, like Casket Darkfire, who's done like 30 reviews, means that you have to kind of sift for some gold.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, some of them are just fine. The fact that this guy's done 5 of them and all of them are tip to tails wonderful is really great.
Yeah.
Like, there'd be a good Patreon extra, like, you know, tag team and do some readings of these. Because they're pretty good. Like, I have bookmarked this page. This guy's contributions. I love him. I love that his name on GameFAQs, he ran into the character limit, so it's Grammatical Kin. Like, it sounds like the spinoff.
Yeah.
Thing of the Saturday morning cartoon of Grammar Man and his like his grammar children. Yeah.
Jesus. Oh,
he's so
God.
Good.
It's so bad though.
Yeah, it's really bad, but I'm very happy I found him. I just felt like it was like treasure, you know?
Yeah.
Like, man, is he's something.
Mm.
Sucks ass.
Yeah. But just like, so okay, so let's just pump the brakes here for just a second. He wrote that great Waldo Search review in 2002. Okay.
Yep.
That game came out in 1993.
Yeah.
Like, so is this performance? Yeah. Like, is this just him saying like, hey, I want to have a gimmick, so I'm going to make a gimmick.
So I thought about that because this feels like if this were modern, mm-hmm. this would be a bit.
Yeah.
I just feel like 2002. This would feel very unusual to me.
Yeah.
To have this be a bit. Like, there's a thing Jim Sterling does that's called, like, Comedocracy, where he puts on a literal powdered wig and he reads comments of people who are just, you know, talking about true gamers and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the same kind of voice as I think of this. But, like, if this actually is performance art, there's a couple of things that make me think that it's not. One is that he does Fatal Relations, because that's a very obscure game. Like, I'd never heard of that before.
Yeah.
And I assume have you ever heard of Fatal Relations?
No.
I assume not. Like, and you're in the visual novel soup. So, like, I assumed, like, you know. And then, two, the fact that it's over such a, like, a long time span.
Just over the course of, like, 2 years.
Yeah, like, yeah. Like, or just months, though. Like, mm-hmm. that happened between them. Like, Mortal Kombat and Chiller are day after, like, those two came out one day apart.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a couple months later, and a couple months later, and then, like, a year later.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
It's weird for me to think of this as a bit.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe it is. Maybe he has a website where he links these fake reviews of this stuff. But or maybe like if he were doing it, like, I feel like the style of humor at the time, like, he would be do the same tone, but talk about like Mario killing turtles or something.
Yeah.
You know, do something that were better games. Like, there's actually, like, he talks about why these games are bad in there, too. Mm-hmm. Like the Waldo one, which is very funny that he has this whole, like, you know, tight 20 about fads.
tight 20.
But it has this whole 7-point thing about why the game is bad, and he's not wrong.
Yeah,
like these are all like points of, so there's actually a review in there, which is the other thing that makes me think it's not a joke, you know. So
yeah, I'm doing searches and so the just putting the first paragraph of the Chiller review in just pulls back the Chiller review. Doing a search for Grammatical King game review, just this. So he doesn't have he doesn't have a presence anywhere
like
else.
He doesn't have like a blog or anything where like, yeah. Cause I hate it when I get cat, when I feel like that's the worst feeling. You feel like you like found a treasure and then like, it turns out to be, you know, that turtle treasure was a snapping turtle, you know,
right.
Extremely bad feeling. Like, yeah. You don't get bit by your treasure.
No.
Yeah.
So as far as we can tell, because this guy took his profile offline, this is what we've got.
Yeah,
like that's it.
Into it.
Blah.
Yeah, and I feel fine and good about that being the episode. Like, here's Chiller. Someone make a documentary about Chiller. Also, look at this fucking shit, man. Like,
get a load of this guy.
Yeah, get a load of this game. Get a load of this guy. Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah.
If you like the show, the best thing you can do is support us on Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
Go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Yeah.
You can see what we have on offer. You can see what you get in reward, you know, in return.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also support your boys and help us keep the lights on in our apartments and at Duckfeed HQ, i.e. pay for posting and shit.
Right. Yes. So. We've gotten some very sweet reviews here recently. So thank you very much. Mm-hmm. If you would like to go and do likewise, we see that and we appreciate it.
We do. Yeah. You can also go to duckfeed.tv/store.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably, about the 'tis the season. Yeah. We do have a referral link just because of Christmas shopping.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
you would go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar if you're going to be buying things from Amazon and, you know, feeling conflicted about giving money to a literal James Bond villain.
Yeah, I don't like Amazon at all.
No.
But it's not like people don't use it. So if you're going to use it.
Yeah, if you're going to use it. Yes, help us out and get less money to Jeff Bezos. Because of the referral.
Gets less money and we get slightly more money.
Yes. Either that, or if you are going to be doing that and you feel conflicted about it anyway, there is like Amazon Smile, which is like an affiliate link, but gives to charities as well.
Mm-hmm.
I would, you know, it'd be nice if you did ours, but know that that's an option as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just not using Amazon is obviously an option.
Yeah.
We're just talking to people who are just going to use Amazon anyway.
Yes.
And like, spoiler, I buy stuff from Amazon from time to time myself.
I just got I buy my toilet paper off of Amazon because I'm a literal Captain Planet villain.
You get a drone to airdrop you a single ply.
So what happens is, I don't mean to extend the to extend the episode. What happens is I buy Cottonelle Ultra Soft Premium or whatever. And it's the good stuff. You got to treat yourself, right? However, it is not shipped in an anonymous box. It is just in a ready ship box that has Cottonelle written on the side of it. So it's a fun game where I have to make sure I go and grab that box from my front porch as soon as it's delivered. Otherwise, people can see that I have a literal steamer trunk full of toilet paper delivered to my house.
People will know you ship.
Yeah, can't have that happen.
Cannot have that happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I try not to, you know, I do try to shop locally.
Mm-hmm.
There's no ethical consumption under capitalism. Like, me giving money to Kroger is not necessarily better than me giving money to Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I try to just like shop locally if I can, but there's just stuff I can't get.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, or like, I also don't have a car. So like, if I want something big,
mm-hmm.
you know, if there were good delivery options, I would do them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but I it's important to me get this thing delivered, because otherwise I'm like adding a lift to the price and stuff, and I don't make very much money. Like, I don't, you know, I live in an expensive city. Like, it is not I'm not living it, you know. Yeah. I'm not living it up. I owe the government a whole bunch of money for student loans. Like, I'm not doing good money wise.
Yeah, yeah.
So that stuff's important.
All of this hemming and hawing is not to be parodies of ourselves, although that is pretty funny. It is to say, we have that link, we are conflicted about the presence of it, but it does help, and we keep it up because it actually does make a difference in our bottom lines.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, is like it is a literal way that, like, you know, we're able to do a, you know, with that kind of bump that happens during Christmas and stuff, when people do their Christmas shopping for it, which they're going to do anyway, just actually does make a big difference.
Yeah.
So it's helpful. Yeah. So do those things. And also, if you don't want to do that, if you feel conflicted about it, you don't want to use any of those links, buy something from the store.
Yeah.
And until next time, who is Grammatical Dog? Whomst is Grammatical Dog?
Whomst should have found this Grammatical Dog?
Grammatical dogs have been a plague upon our society for as long as I mine memories.
since the halcyon days when I watched Captain Inn and ate sugary cereals.
And I supped upon me crunch and captained my flakes in a milky bowl of sugary wonders.